Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And now.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Welcome into Crusader Talk. Glad to have you with us on this Monday evening. Caleb Hamill, along with Josh West, Dalton Stanford behind the board, pushing all the right buttons, making this show happen this evening. Got a lot to get to today, as we always do, as we're right in the middle of a fun in-between season. I say in-between season, I mean crossover season. Got soccer, volleyball, basketball, cross-country, swimming. They've got to meet this weekend, you name it. If it's not baseball or softball, basically it's going on right now.
Do they have a meet I'm supposed to call this weekend?
They may.
Is that the home meet this weekend?
Yeah, it's in Biloxi.
Oh, I didn't. That's me.
That's you. I was about to say, you're this one. I'm the January one.
I've got one coming up.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Crusader Talk to let you know about your schedule this week, right?
Look.
We take this thing one day at a time, one week at a time. Hey, it happens, man.
Now, look, I think, was that not perfect? I mean, that was live. On-air reaction to, oh, yeah, this is that week. It's November. Yeah. Who knew?
That's what happens in crossover season, y'all. Oh. We get all kinds of stuff. And luckily, you know, one of us does the basketball and the other does baseball whenever that crossover season happens. So luckily we don't typically get tangled up too bad there. But still, it's fun, all these different schedules.
Yeah, but your crossover season is a completely different level of crossover season. Yours is in two different locations with two different teams, which we're fully excited and supportive of you of, mm-hmm. to be able to cover it on two different levels. And so, yeah, yours is quite exciting as well.
Yeah, and then my crossover season right now is four different teams that I cover for high school football, yes. And then the William Carey stuff with soccer. It's fun. It's a fun adrenaline rush.
It is great. And so which one's more intense as we kind of transition here? Which one's more intense? Do you think it's becoming that this one, as we've added swimming and with the ascension of volleyball and with everything that's kind of going on, is the fall becoming more intense than this? I always thought February was the toughest, but is it becoming fall now? Is it becoming October, November?
You know, November, honestly, is one of the easier months for it because the high school football season is winding down.
Sure.
You have playoffs, certainly, and then when we get to state championships in December, then it kind of ramps back up. But soccer has a break as far as our coverage of direct play-by-play calling,
sure.
up until they host an opening round in about November 20th in that neighborhood. So we get a little bit of a break. The paycheck gets a little thinner. But no, it's October, honestly, I think is the hardest month just because of how many soccer matches there are on sometimes random dates. And then you pair that up with Friday night football. So there are weeks where it was Thursday night doubleheader at William Carey, Friday night football in Jones County, and then another doubleheader on Saturday at William Carey. So you never know, but I will say the amount of prep work that it takes for a baseball weekend, whether it be here or elsewhere, those can get intense, especially when you're having to flip back and forth between the two.
Sure.
But I love it. It's a thrill. I will say from a preparation standpoint of the podcast, this is the busiest time of year because we're having to juggle all the different athletic teams that are in progress right now with basketball just starting their season. They've got a good couple of games coming up tomorrow night. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But like I said, swimming, soccer is about to be in Montgomery for the SSAC semifinals and possible championship games. And volleyball finishing up their regular season as well on the road. So, I mean, there's all kinds of fun that we can get to and we plan to get to.
And we can't gloss over the fact that I'm excited that we're playing Dillard at home.
Yes.
Because you're going to one of the most raucous, crazy, excitable fan bases in the country. And we can't show this viral clip.
Oh, I'm so glad you're bringing this up.
But there was one of the – you – how do they find it, Caleb? Because you owe it to yourself as a sports fan to find this clip of Dillard basketball playing, and who was the team they were playing? We played them last year.
Lemoyne.
Lemoyne played Lemoyne in Montgomery either last year or the year before. And to set this up for a missed dunk, and the player fakes injury.
Yeah, fakes like he's got a pulled hamstring.
Does not go well with the crowd. The crowd sees right through it. They proceed to fall out in the floor mocking him, and as if they were injured, not one, not two, not 10, probably 30 to 50, 200. The place went crazy as if a Dillard player had broken the backboard. It was one of the – and then the broadcasters lose it an extended period. It – and I would have – I don't know how you hold that in.
Whoever was the director,
one of the best viral clips ever,
had the best choice of taking that camera shot, because they had a sideline camera that was meant to follow the action, and he called the audible to pan over to the crowd that was out on the floor and
just delirious,
and just showing that while the play was still going on. Keep that in mind. Yeah, they miss the dunk, and Dillard goes back the other direction. I think miss a layup or something. You never see that, because all you see are the fan reactions to that Lemoyne player that faked injury due to embarrassment. And again, because of that, the announcers are watching the monitor too, and they lose it. And
let's help this guy who posted it. Where do they find
it? I just reposted it on X.
Okay, so there you go. So Caleb just reposted this. This is one of the most entertaining – Dalton, wouldn't you say one of the most entertaining basketball viral clips you've seen in a while?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you showed me just a little while ago, and honestly, I...
Like, this ranks up there with Snacks from Jackson State.
Oh, absolutely.
You remember Snacks?
Yes. Oh, I remember Snacks.
Oh, man. Rob J did that one a service. Can you imagine Rob J calling that clip from Dillard? Yeah, can you imagine if that was at Jackson State?
Oh, Lord. It's the fact that you could hear the announcer. He's doing everything he can to hold it together, and he finally breaks.
Oh, yeah.
It's like when you see your favorite actor on TV just break character. They just can't help
it. It was like two camera shots in a row showing the fans, like, faking the cramp.
And they and like I said, there's not 10, 20. There's 30 to 40 to 50 people faking injury. You know, oh, my leg.
It's like nobody had to tell them to do it. They just all knew.
And they're running around and hugging each other and laughing and it's a good time.
They'll never forget that they were in that game in that crowd.
That's right.
So, again.
That's who comes to William Carey Dillard, tomorrow night.
That team, Dillard comes to town. We do not have to deal with that fan base that if we would mess up, they would let us know real quick and in a hurry. So we don't have to deal with that. They come into Clinton Gym tomorrow night.
That's right. So a doubleheader of basketball action against Dillard. It'll be 5 o'clock for the women's match. Men will follow at 7 o'clock. First home game, I want to say, for the women this year. Mm-hmm. Men had the game against Southeastern Baptist on their own a little while back, but now first doubleheader of the year.
Final 10-second thought. Like, Dr. Burnett, you think we're insane for going on and on about this. Until you watch it, you're going to come back and speak to me and Caleb about that clip. And that's all we'll say about that. We're not overhyping it. All right, moving on.
No, it's a lot of fun. Now, it just, to me, is the appeal that we need more cameras like that to capture when the band for Carey, Pep Band, wants to have some antics like that. Because, Lord knows, we have those moments happen at Clinton Gym as well. Just don't always have the moment captured. But I digress. But good start to the year for both men's and women's basketball. Looking forward to seeing if they can keep that stretch going. Meanwhile, on the soccer front, so this has been a great week for William Carey soccer. We're going to hear comments from Coach Owens, possibly Coach Farrell as well, from their post-game interviews of those matches from last week. But women, just an all-out dominant performance against Faulkner. A match in which they won on the road earlier this year 4-1. But, man, they just really were clicking on all cylinders. Did not have to keep their starters in for very long at all, but chose to play full throttle with their substitutes in, knowing that these girls could get some solid minutes in the postseason and need to be running at full game speed, full game energy and mentality. And they get a 7-0 win. They get the touchdown and the extra point over Faulkner. And meanwhile, you turn back to what the guys were able to do against Thomas, a team that doesn't really give up many goals on the year. Cary's able to win that one 4-1 that very afternoon on Thursday. And end Thomas' season effectively. And now we'll get that rematch in the semifinals against Faulkner over in Montgomery.
Yeah.
How big is that?
Just not many times in life you get do-overs, right? I love to say that. And when you do get an opportunity for a mulligan, you take advantage. I don't think there's any way that Coach Farrell and the boys don't take advantage of that opportunity. And going back to the ladies' win, I hope we get a chance to cue up your call on the Karen Vallow goal. It was a counter. It was a kind of a breakaway, and she flushed it, absolutely pured it. And your call, your just reaction was so spontaneous and in the moment. Clayton dubbed it the call of the year. So I hope we get to hear that. Hey, look, you're not tooting your own horn. I'm over here, me and Clayton.
Well, I appreciate
we got your back. It was fantastic. And that's what makes soccer such a great watch and a great call when you have those kind of moments. And I know her family and Cary fans everywhere were celebrating with you. And this team's fun. They've got a lot of momentum. Other teams are not at their best right now. This could be all turning Cary's way.
It could be. We'll talk about those matchups coming up in the SSAC tournament and a whole lot more. You're listening to Crusader Talk.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
I had told you, I think, last week of our conversation of how I never anticipated that I'd be watching NAIA soccer on a Sunday with, you know, Cary not playing in the match. But, I mean, granted, it did have implications a couple weeks ago with Dalton and Life playing. But now, all of a sudden, my entire social media feed, at times, is just interlaced with random MLS game highlights and, you know, the best goal scored ever by Lionel Messi and all these different things. And so I've just been up to my ears in hearing soccer commentary as of late.
I blame Clayton Rush.
Yeah, he's an influencer.
It's his fault. He is. His passion is contagious.
That's it. But I have just been having this almost a longing, I would say, to get to call a goal in which you could have that classic soccer announcer approach of, you know, once they see the ball find the feet of that striker, they know they're about to shoot, and they just say their name, and as the ball goes in, they just hold it out. Like, it's that cue for anybody listening that they're the one that scored. So, you know, for Messi, I mean, it's really easy. Messi! Or, you know, whatever player you may have. It's just fun. And my favorite one for Cary, and I'm hoping possibly in the opening round whenever Cary hosts a match there, or possible national championship if we go out there to Pensacola for it, is Alicia Navarro. Because wouldn't Navarro be such a fun name to say and sustain? Out front to Navarro. Navarro! But Vallow is pretty good, too. And she had a really good run and pass between herself and Navarro to get an open goal as Cary went out in front 5-0 there on Thursday against Faulkner. Yeah, and I found the clip, so here it is.
Allie's here!
Here comes Vallow racing ahead. Navarro catches up to it. Right of the box, leaves it out front, Vallow, Karen Vallow!
Well done.
5-0, William Cary.
And, of course, Clayton nice. Rush was just dying laughing because we had had that conversation about it before.
And but you also nailed it. He was also the first one to celebrate the goal and your call of the goal and was like, call of the year, it's done. It's done because he just cherishes those moments, right? That's why he does it. You're not going to find a bigger William Cary soccer fan than Clayton Rush. And so, I mean, he's texting us the day of the matches. We're texting the week of, the weekend before. He's sending us links to other matches, and we're all getting together, and we'll have the group text going, and we're watching Southern States soccer. We're watching NAIA soccer. Because, man, Clayton literally, you know, lives, sleeps, eats, breathes it.
Yeah.
Loves it.
Even last night, we were at a Bible study, and we were hanging out at Dairy Queen, and all of a sudden, we just got to talking about, yeah, William Carey soccer, man. Back, I just missed it, you know, with my playing days when, you know, Bethel, Tennessee, and Belhaven were all in the same conference as Carey. And I'm just looking around the room. I'm like, Clayton, we may be the only two people in the room that care about this right now. But it is an interesting conversation topic, and I enjoy it. But it's one of those fun things that I've grown to love it, too. I was not a soccer man growing up. In fact, the first match that I called of soccer – was for William Carey, and it was an opening round game. And this was, gosh, this had to be 2020 when they played in the spring one year because of the pandemic. But at that point, I could count on one hand the amount of soccer matches that I had seen in person, like mm-hmm. actual competitive soccer matches. And I've gotten to see a lot much more competitive soccer since then, and very fun soccer as well. Coach Owens visited with us there at the side of the pitch after Carey's 7-0 win over Faulkner. And I told him, Coach, this was just a dominant performance by William Carey. This is what his response was there during the post game.
Yeah, I thought so. We talked about trying to play a full 90-minute game. Last few games, we really didn't put a good second half together. So just challenge them at halftime to play 90 minutes. As you, in the postseason, you're going to have to be able to play full 90s. And I thought the girls did great from start to finish.
You know, when Navarro set up, I believe it was her setting up Karen Bilal for that second big goal of hers. And we were saying that – I think Navarro had gotten in her steps for the day. She had been on just some, you know, spectacular runs in this match this afternoon. Both her and Bilal both tag team for a great effort today.
Yeah, no, Karen's just so smart on the ball and with her vision. And, you know, we have that catapult data, and Allie's sprint distance is always the highest. So I think on that goal, her run started from the top of our 18 and finished inside the box for Karen's goal. So, she's been like that all year, and we really have to manage her in practice because she's not jogging, she's always sprinting. So,
you know, you brought up a good point about how, you know, much you have to play this full 90 minutes because you really can't take a game off, you know, at any point the rest of the way, because they're all going to be, you know, big for an importance of either a conference championship or a possible national championship run. And you just can't treat the rest of these games like just casual backyard events. You have to play the full game.
Yeah, and I kind of told him before the game, there's no mulligans. There's no, oh, we'll see him next time. Or, you know, the true 1-0 is something we talk about. But even more, you've got to go 1-0 to get to the next game, to the next round. So being able to put 90 minutes together is so important at this stage. So we thought we did it today. We get to move on to Montgomery for the semis. And that's just going to have to be our mantra for as long as we go.
How important is it to see that your substitution's got some, you know, valuable playing time out there? A total of probably, you know, 30 minutes or more of total gameplay.
Yeah, and like I said other night on the podcast, developing the depth was really important for us early October. And they come on and they change the game. I mean, Rocky comes on for Allie and nothing really drops. She's just playing. Leslie comes on. You know, Leslie's a starter, Rocky's a starter that are coming off the bench, so it's been good. It helped change the game, it helps rest legs, and we're still playing at a high level, so yeah, we're excited about their team from really top to bottom.
So that was Coach Danny Owens on the post-game show there, talking about Carey's 7-0 win over Faulkner in the quarterfinals of the SSAC tournament. And Josh, I went back behind the little bench area for Carey after the match, in which she was talking to the players. In just a wrap-up style, he was telling them, look, we take this one match at the time. We don't look forward to possible conference championship game against Life or Tennessee Southern, whoever. You know, we're looking at our next match. At the time, didn't know it for sure, but now we do know it's Mobile, a team in which Carey won 3-0 earlier, not too long ago, actually, just back on October the 11th. But, yeah, really was pushing forward the agenda that you can't go beyond what's right in front of you because you're not guaranteed anything afterward. So really making sure they maintain that focus. And then promptly after said, all right, now does everybody have their Halloween costume for practice tomorrow?
That's good.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a fun group. At the end of the day, not only are they very disciplined and a very good, tight-knit group of girls, going out there performing on a pitch, but they're also a community that love to have a little fun. And I think Argentina Estrada was the only one that didn't have her costume figured out, and she was protesting that, you know, she didn't know what she was going to do, and Coach Owen said, well, you can't be a ref. That's not allowed, because you can't be what you already are sometimes. So you had to find something else. And hopefully she figured out something before that morning practice the next day.
Makes for a great group team photo, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, just creates some great memories. You've got rivalry. It's all rivalry matches now moving forward between, as you mentioned, Mobile, then Tennessee Southern Life on the other side. They're not looking ahead, but thought it was interesting. You talked about no mulligans. I had just mentioned, as kind of transition back to the guys' side moving forward, we'll talk more about that match. But, you know, the guys coming out of the regular season into the postseason, an opportunity at a do-over is done. You know, any mm-hmm. chance of that now moving forward, you put yourself in a real bind if you lose, you know, in this tournament early and you check out before you need to when it comes to seeding, hosting, which, you know, how high is that national seed? What side of the bracket are you on? You would hate to know that you didn't bring your best and then it puts you in a really rough situation moving through the bracket because on the flip side of that, Kerry has done the opposite in recent years. They've given themselves great opportunities to make deep runs, and in particular what the men were able to do last year. It was very atypical what the ladies did, getting upset in the quarters last year, but what the men were able to do on that deep run, they were very close. We could have been celebrating a William Kerry Men's Soccer National Championship. A couple of more bounces of the ball. They were that close. They were right there in the mix in that, you know, Fab Four, if you will, that top four.
I mean, how many overtime matches do we see Kerry men play there at the end of the season? I want to say, I know at least the Georgia Gwinnett one, and then I believe
Golden
against
Goal,
Williams.
PKs. I mean, it was just tremendous.
Yeah, it was always something. And so they were gassed by the end of that season with how hard they had to play there down the stretch. But big matchup coming for the men's side. We'll talk about that in a little bit too, as it's a rematch with Faulkner. Coach pointed out that possibly with the win over Thomas in the quarterfinals, may have locked in Kerry to be a host. We'll see. But also, Josh, got an early little sneak peek at what the all-tournament or all-conference teams look like for soccer. You may be surprised by a little bit of the stats of how Kerry shapes up and all that. But we'll talk about that on the other side of this timeout. This is Crusader Talk.
Talking everything William Kerry University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
I know I mentioned it earlier, a lot of different athletic events going on this week for William Kerry. Before I run out of time and just completely forget as we rush through the final segment, let me go ahead and break down for everybody out there what is to come this week with William Kerry, because it would be easy to miss if you didn't go ahead and get it on your calendar now. I've already mentioned it earlier in the pod, but first things first, women's and men's basketball, Tuesday night, tomorrow night if you're listening live, 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock against Dillard. You would love to be there at Clinton Gym for that one. Already mentioned the fun atmosphere that Dillard has at their place. A pretty good team as well. Not one that Kerry can just sleepwalk by.
Kerry had a good crowd for Southeastern Baptist and men's. Nice crowd.
And a very good score result, by the way. And by the way, while I've got a second, we'll pause there and I'll continue the calendar in just a second. But a really good performance for Kerry offensively in that one. Nearly double the points of the Chargers.
They did. And again, not great in the first half. Shots weren't falling. They were able to force 42 turnovers, I think it was, in that game, something along those lines, nearly 30 steals. So just smothering defensively. They were so much bigger at the guard spots. And that was from a Southeastern Baptist team that had recruited some local kids, picked up a couple kids out of Heidelberg, picked up some, had a like 16 or 17 dressed, you know, doing what they can to compete in their league, but just outmatched. You're going to see in just a couple of weeks when William Carey matches up with Southern Miss at the guard positions. Mm-hmm. William Carey's guards will match up with Southern Miss.
Yeah.
And so then it makes me wonder, can they then match up? I haven't looked at the roster for Southeastern Louisiana the following night. Can they match up with Southeastern Louisiana guards? They're going to have to score. They're going to have to shoot the ball well. They're going to have to run the floor, create turnovers, press. But they've got so many bodies that they can throw at people, 6'3", 6'4", 6'3", 6'4", 6'4", 6'6". So they can. And then, of course, you know, Spanky's got to stay out of foul trouble.
Yeah.
Rendarius Hughes has got to stay out of foul trouble.
And it's going to be
the big body.
It's going to be an interesting matchup for Carey against Southern Miss and the fact they'll be facing Dylan Brumfield.
Dylan Brumfield, who is just starting to get his legs under him at Southern Miss, but is starting for Southern Miss. Did not have another year of eligibility in NAIA, so we wish him the best. And I think he's going to have a big year for Coach Ladner and Southern Miss.
Yeah, while we record, Southern Miss is trailing in basketball right now, 78-75 to Buffalo, team out of New York.
What a draw.
Yeah, very interesting draw.
To fly to Buffalo to start the season.
Yeah, that one's going right down to the wire. We'll probably have a final before we get out of here. But all that to wrap up the basketball conversation. William Carey takes on Dillard in the meantime, coming up tomorrow night, Tuesday night. As you listen, 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock, the times of those. Upcoming next in the week, skip Wednesday, move on over to Thursday. All this on the road, but important matchups nonetheless. Men's basketball will be taking on Southern University at New Orleans. So pair of games with just a day of separation there. So Suno at 7 o'clock. But women's soccer getting a little morning time game against Mobile over in Montgomery for the SSAC tournament. And that is a chance to make the championship game if they win over Mobile for a second time this season. Then the men get their rematch with Faulkner under the lights at 7 o'clock p.m. over in Montgomery as they also try to make it to the championship game. Remember, Carey lost that match to Faulkner earlier this year. It was the first time in 12, 13 meetings that Faulkner finally got a win over Carey and a chance for the Crusaders to get a little bit of revenge there and possibly meet up with either Dalton or Life on the other side of the bracket. Also coming up Friday, you've got cross country meeting for the SSAC tournament championship. That'll be that morning on Friday, the same day that William Carey women's basketball will face Southern Miss at 11 o'clock in the morning. And then also William Carey begins to wrap up their volleyball regular season at Life that evening at 5 o'clock Friday. And then their final match will be the following day at 12 o'clock noon against Bruton Parker over Mount Vernon, Georgia. Also on Saturday, as Josh found out at the top of the broadcast, William Carey Swim will be hosting a meet at Biloxi. And this says the start time is 11:30, so you get a little lunch on the coast, if you will, over there.
I knew it was coming up. I knew it was coming up.
November got here in a hurry, man. It did.
Yeah. So I knew it was on the horizon. But I think there was a day where Kevin Rosary, sports information, media relations at Carey, said Josh, I didn't get out till 10. We got out early. He had like five stories to write. So it was like, you know, he still was burning the oil for like another 8 hours. You know,
gracious.
So that's why I'm like, I'm going to give him a hard time. Kev, you're going to remind me about, he's like, man, I'm busy. Do you know how many articles I'm writing right now?
Gracious. By the way, if you're looking to get stuff scheduled on your calendar, keep these two dates in mind, November 20th, which is a Thursday, and November 22nd, a Saturday. Those two days are the opportunities that Carey may play for the NAIA opening round. More than likely, it's just going to be Saturday that you have to worry about, the 22nd, because the 20th is most likely going to be the play-in game day in which Carey as the host team would not play. So as it happened last year, the women's soccer side, because they were such a high seed, hosted the play-in game on Thursday, and then they played the winner on Saturday. Men just skipped the play-in game altogether and just faced up against Georgia Gwinnett on Saturday after the women's match. So kind of looking similar to that right now. Carey's on the cusp of possibly getting a play-in game hosted. Coach Farrell and I were talking about it back and forth, that Clayton included. He said he kind of prefers the type of approach they had last year of just having each team play that as their first game against one another on Saturday, because there's a little bit of momentum. Sometimes it can be built after that play-in game on a Thursday. I believe that's what Milligan did a couple years back, if memory serves right, whenever they beat Cary on their home field. And so maybe that's what's kind of haunting him in the back of the brain. But I'm with him right there, because you've seen it too, Josh, when it comes to the SSAC basketball tournament. Sometimes the teams that don't get the bye in the first round get that upset win over the team that's been waiting in the wings, ready to take the floor for the first time, because they aren't as acclimated to the environment.
Oh, 100% agree. And I'm going to be right across the street at Clinton Gym with the conference home openers. Loyola will be in town.
Ooh, that'll be a busy week.
So that is going to be so much fun. If you're a fan, it's right there weekend before Thanksgiving. Hope the weather's beautiful, sunshine and cool breeze, and get out there and go back and forth. You know, go take in some soccer and then go back and forth. We might have to see about some sort of a super pass for that day. But I don't think you can, because
yeah,
it's NAIA.
Yeah, that'd be kind of hard.
Or maybe if it's basketball, if you've got your NAIA, just walk over to Clinton Gym.
I was about to say, maybe you can show your ticket or your proof of purchase from soccer and say, okay, I want to catch in a little bit of this basketball game while we're between matches before I go back over there.
Yeah, so we'll have to kind of throw that up the ladder, so to speak, and see if Ben can jump on that. Because certainly as a fan, you want to be able to go back and forth.
Yes, yeah, certainly
makes it perfect.
Do. So I won't have enough time to get this Barry Farrell interview in, but just looking back at the matchup with Thomas, I wanted to spend just a little bit of time talking about this. As by the way, Santiago Molina gets SSAC Men's Soccer Player of the Week from an offensive standpoint. Got 2 goals and 2 assists over that meeting with Thomas, so congratulations to him. It's his second honor of the year, and he earned it. Now, he was a very big factor in that victory for William Carey back on Thursday.
He was still stewing over not getting the equalizer in Montgomery.
I'm sure. I'm telling you.
I mean, the saves on the other end were ridiculous.
I mean, a career day. And to be honest, I cannot emphasize this enough. This is not a broadcaster's curse, I don't believe. But it would be very hard to see a keeper like that have the same type of performance in a second meeting with Carey without letting some more slip by, because that's just unheard of if it happens. But you know, we've seen terrific goalkeeper play before. But just to break back down that matchup, this is one that, though Carey won 4-1, it was not that big of a gap. I at least didn't feel that way for a majority of the match. Carey got off to a 2-0 lead early on. Santiago Molina got a penalty kick goal to start off the match in the 11th minute. Pedro Santiago made it 2-0 Crusaders in the 23rd, and they took that lead into the halftime locker room. Now, Carey gets that third goal, which makes you able to breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief there, and go in front 3-0 in the 56th minute. But that's when Thomas was able to get a goal from Edward Sack, a guy played off the bench, in minute number 69. And to be honest with you, up until Carey got that third goal, and even after Thomas scored to make it a 2-point deficit again, it just felt like Thomas was taking shot after shot, testing Jamie Berry, who eventually comes up with a total of 6 saves. But Thomas, for a majority of that game, outshot William Carey up until, and in fact, did finish with more shots in total, 17-13 in that regard. But he really had a lot of offensive chances. Carey hardly possessed that second half, and it really made you nervous if you were a supporter, because you thought at any point Thomas could get that goal to get down by only one, and sometimes that second goal can come in a hurry. Because I mean, we had just seen recently with Carey in the women's game how often they would score a goal and then immediately get one right back. You'd score them in pairs. So we as broadcasters didn't feel comfortable. But if I got the chance to play back that interview, the very first thing out of Coach Farrell's mouth was, I think we felt very comfortable, you know, there late in the match, just something like that. And I'm just thinking, what match were you watching? Or is this the new heart medication you're on, Coach?
It's just really working. You know, it's mellowing you out, man.
Boy, man, I got to find out what you're taking. Get me some of that.
Boy, I need some.
But honestly, it was clinical, the way that Kerry was able to just carry on through that match. And he saw that, you know, Kerry was able to score 4 against Thomas, and he said, this is a team that doesn't concede a lot of goals. And when you pair what Jamie Berry's been able to do, very impressive. And now, that kind of leads me into what I kind of teased this segment to be about. Don't have the official documentation out, and it'll likely be released midweek. But on the women's side and the men's side, Kerry has pretty well a majority of the slots on both sides, especially on the women's side, for who make all conference. A couple players for life on both sides, but a really big presence of William Kerry on both all-conference teams for men and women.
Yeah, I mean, it's kudos to both coaching staffs and their ability to recruit, and in the way those men and women have gone out and executed. They truly are a joy to watch. You got to get out there, folks. If you're a soccer fan, you got to get out to Kerry.
Yeah, and hey, keep your eye on when it gets released. Look at who that Defensive Player of the Year might be on the men's side. You may be surprised. One final segment coming up with you on Crusader Talk. Stay with us.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Well, I just got the final score. Southern Miss lost their game to Buffalo 85-79. Is that final? That's a future opponent for William Kerry and Southern Miss, obviously. Well, that happens every year. Women's basketball will be facing Southern Miss here soon, as we pointed out just a moment ago.
And it's a final, Southern Miss women over NIU, 77-56.
Missy Bilderback is a force to be reckoned with. And not to say that the previous coaches for Southern Miss weren't stout, but she has got some firepower with whatever program she coaches.
In an era where recruiting is so pivotal, to be able to function and adapt in that era that they are in of NIL, watch out. And, you know, and look, because of that, let's tie this together to William Kerry. Missy and Coach Garriga, they go back. And so Coach Garriga has been able to go in a very unique situation because of their friendship. She's been able to take in off-season workouts and watch them practice. And, you know, they talk shop. And, you know, Kerry being NAIA, they being Division I NCAA. And, you know, the Mayor's Cup is so special because it's bringing Hattiesburg together. But Coach Garriga said that's the best Southern Miss team that Kerry will have ever played in this matchup. And then you look how good Kerry was last year. Their only blemish in the regular season was that exhibition game to Southern Miss.
Yeah.
And it was because of the athleticism at those guard positions and their ability with their full court press. So Kerry's always able to come out of that game getting a taste of that speed, and then it always carries over to Kerry in the coming weeks. And Kerry gets so much better having played in that game, because you're not going to have a better matchup all year.
No.
And so –
Highly unlikely, anyway.
Right, right. Highly unlikely, unless you ran into an absolute buzzsaw at the national tournament. But, yeah, great matchup, and it's going to be a lot of fun. That's Friday, Education Day, 11 a.m. Come have a sausage dog over at Reed Green and watch.
You going to be there for that one?
I will be there.
All right, so internet radio broadcast for that one. Just go to supertalkhattiesburg.com. You can find the link there. It'll also be linked on the William Kerry Athletics page as well. That's kerryathletics.com. Probably also going to see it on the social media platforms as well.
Need to shoot really, really well.
Yeah.
Need to make a lot of threes.
Yeah. Do you like Stat Broadcast, by the way? You
love
like having
it.
That tool?
Yeah. Yeah. That's fun.
It's one of my favorites as well. One of the best additions that they ever made in the NAIA postseasons was adding Stat Broadcast to the mix. So all the baseball games and soccer, basketball, all of it, they involve Stat Broadcast. And for all of our friends out there who have no idea what we're talking about, it's just a really fun way that the live stats of the game are presented to us to then be able to portray it in a storyline form to our listeners.
Yeah.
Does that summarize it?
When you hear broadcasts, you know, how do they know that? How do they know they're on an 8-0 run? How do they know they haven't scored in the last 2.5 minutes? We're not statting that by hand.
No.
Good old stat broadcast. Yeah. But what Kerry uses as well with Presto is some good platforms,
yes,
as well.
It does show some of those run things, and it's what makes us sound really smart when we're out there just doing a game and saying, oh, Kerry hasn't scored for the last 232. It's because the monitor told us.
Yeah.
It's not because I have logged in the back of my brain what the time code was whenever, you know, Kerry made their last three. It's because somebody else told me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're not magicians and wizards as you once thought we were. We are but humble plebes just reading off of a screen. That said, volleyball in the middle of their season, about to wrap it up, Josh. And this is a team that we've mentioned it before, going through some injuries, just trying to limp through to the conference tournament right now, sitting at number four with pool play waiting for them after these final two matches of the season.
I think if they were healthy, they would be one or two, if not one. And, yeah, let me go back and say, yeah, they would be number one. So already halfway as injured as they are now, it was very close the first matchup. With Mobile, you know, early on. But this is a program that Coach Shirley and Coach Lanford will not let those ladies quit, and they have no quit in them. So they're going to continue to battle. They'll continue to fight. This weekend's critical. I would love to see them try to get up. Do they have a chance to get to third?
I think, technically do.
If they win two and get some help?
If they win two, they would go to 11-5. They would have to Loyola would have to lose.
Mm.
Two, okay. I think. Although Blue Mountain also has a 10-4, and
how many losses for Loyola?
Four.
So if they lose two, yeah. Well, now we I don't know. It'd come down to sets one and all that, but
yeah, it's weird. And okay. Blue Mountain is also 10-4, so
yeah, it's so they need some help. They need to sweep in and get some help. I don't know if that's possible, but tough draw. Tennessee Southern, if they're 4-5 matchup, that's going to be really tough. And then you're on the same side of the bracket as Mobile.
Yeah, which is pool play, so you would have to play Mobile.
That's just a really, really tough draw,
yeah,
which is unfortunate considering, you know. But, hey, more adversity to overcome. They will, you know, attack it head on, but that's tough. And just watch out, this volleyball team, they're all back next year. They're going to get healthy. Surgeries will commence, have already been underway. More will come immediately following the season into the new year. They will be ready to go come next fall.
That's right. Well, if they ended the season right now, they'd have Tennessee Southern, Mobile, and Faulkner in their pool. We'll see how all that shakes out. If you're wanting to keep in touch with all the soccer going on over in Montgomery for the conference tournament, it is available free to watch. Just go to UrbanEdgeNetwork.com. It is available to watch there free of charge. And all kinds of athletics going on this week. Check it out online, CarryAthletics.com, for the full schedule and listings. For Josh and Dalton Stanford behind the board, I'm Caleb Hamill, saying until next time, good night, God bless, and go Saters.
A SuperTalk Mississippi Media Production.